The Wisconsin Department of Transportation will spend $3.33 billion this year on transportation programs. Transportation Secretary Mark Gottlieb has been asked by Governor Scott Walker to make recommendations for this, for our transportation future. So, Mr. Secretary, thanks for sitting down with Wisconsin Eye.
Thanks, Steve.
Now, several listening sessions have been scheduled, starting tomorrow in where?
La Crosse.
In La Crosse. I think you're going to have 8 or 10 listening sessions. You're briefing members of the Assembly Transportation Committee tomorrow, mm-hmm. giving an overview. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the process of what's going to lead your recommendations on funding the state's transportation future, please.
As you say, Steve, will be starting off tomorrow on 9 town hall meetings all around the state, first in La Crosse, and we'll be going all over the state. We also have set up a website which you can get to for this initiative that we're calling Transportation Moves Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. At each of these town hall meetings, we'll be showing a short video that talks about the importance of transportation to our state's economy, creating jobs, getting goods to and from market, and so forth. And then we'll be talking a little bit about what the department's been doing in terms of innovation and in terms of how we're trying to cost effectively manage public dollars. Then we'll be talking about a presentation about sort of where we stand with regard to financing transportation and some of the challenges that we have. And then we'll be soliciting input and questions and conversation about how people feel, not only what we should do, but I think we're also interested in hearing from people about what a safe and efficient transportation system means to them individually, as citizens or as business owners or whatever the case may be.
So if someone is thinking about coming to one of these, she or he should bring what? Just their ideas on funding or what?
I think it's their ideas. The sessions are 2 hours long. They start at 5 p.m. We will have staff there from our region offices to talk about specific issues related to those areas of the state. We'll have some display boards and so forth. Then a half hour in at 5:30, we'll have this presentation that I talked about, last maybe 20 to 25 minutes, and then it will just become sort of an open dialogue.
Well, you've been charged by the governor to come up with recommendations for the 2015, immediately 2017 biennium. How big is the shortfall?
We think right now, and again, this is subject to some change, we think the shortfall that we would have going into the next biennium, and that means by shortfall, I mean the difference between what we'd anticipate our revenues to be under the current scheme and the needs that we have to maintain the system and maintain our spending on the highway program and so forth, we would say is about between $600 and $700 million for the biennium.
Wow. In getting ready for this interview, I ran across some numbers that I want to ask you about. The 2015 base appropriation for the Zoo Interchange, Hone Bridge, and East-West Freeway is $86 million. Mm-hmm. The projected, from DOT documents, cost for these Milwaukee area mega projects is, in 2015-2017, $957 million. Mm-hmm. That is a difference of $871. Is that the biggest shortfall? Is that the biggest driver of your estimate of $600 to $700 million, Mr. Secretary?
It's a big part of it. The way the Southeast Freeway program is budgeted for is it does not typically have a large amount of base spending in it. And so in order to keep, really our biggest thing there is we want to keep going with the Zoo Interchange to move that to 2018 completion. We obviously have made commitments with regard to I-94 north-south between Milwaukee and the Illinois border to keep that going. So we will need, over $600 million in the biennium just for the zoo project.
That's a large amount of money. Are you afraid of that number, Mr. Secretary?
Well, it's
in terms of the ask of Wisconsin residents?
I think this is why we're having the conversation that we're having statewide. I mean, the governor has made investing in infrastructure one of the 5 objectives of his administration. And I think as a result of the Transportation Finance and Policy Commission, which we've talked about before, which met and made a report and identified mm-hmm. some long-term needs, those long-term needs are somewhat confirmed by this short-term deficit that we have going into the 2015 budget. So I think our position with regard to Transportation Moves Wisconsin Initiative is that now is the time that we really need to get serious about taking some action as we go into the next budget.
How is this process different than 2 years ago when a task force of experts, including former DOT secretaries met mm-hmm. and made recommendations. How's this process? And mm-hmm. but let's be blunt. Those recommendations didn't go anywhere in the Capitol. Mm-hmm. So how is this process different?
Well, the commission, I think, did some extremely valuable work just in identifying that long-term revenue need. They were asked to look at 10 years. They identified $6.8 billion additional revenue needed over 10 years. That's somewhat, again, being confirmed by some of the challenges that we have going into the 2015 biennium. So I think that the commission did some very valuable work, and I think that the commission's work is the foundation for what we're doing right now. When you ask me really what's different about today than before, and a lot of people ask that question, you know, they'll say, we've had studies before, we've been talking about this for a long time, why do you think now is different? Why does the governor feel that 2015 is a time to take some action here? I would point to three things. One of them is the commitment by the governor to address infrastructure, address the long-term instability in transportation funding, and I think address it in a way that is part of a more comprehensive overall reform, so that the governor's done a lot to reduce the tax burden on the public, and I think overall keeping tax burden low is very important, and we'll see how transportation fits into that. But you could have additional revenues in transportation and have those potentially be offset by other tax reductions. So I think high level executive commitment certainly is one thing that we have going for us. The second thing I would point to is largely because of the commission, a much higher level of understanding both in the public and amongst policymakers that we really have reached a point where if we don't make some decisions here, there are going to be some fairly severe consequences to how we maintain our infrastructure. And then the third thing, and I don't want to underestimate this at all, is, as you know, coming up this November, we're going to be voting on the constitutional amendment for the transportation, protecting the transportation fund.
No more raids.
No more raids in the transportation fund. Assuming that passes, and I think it will, I think that's huge in the sense that we will be able to tell people that no matter what going forward, no matter who's in political power, no matter what the legislature wants to do, that if you as the public are willing to make a commitment to pay higher user fees for transportation, we can tell you that every dollar of those fees is going to go to building and maintaining a safe and efficient system. I think that's a big selling point right now.
From covering you in the assembly, I know that you have not had a past of trying to scare people, but can you elaborate on what's at stake? Because you just said fairly severe consequences. Can you be more specific?
Well, that type of a reduction, if we took it all out of the state highway program, would probably be around a 30% reduction in the highway program. Now, that's across the board. I think we would have to look very seriously, and the legislature would have to look very seriously at how projects are being prioritized. Mm-hmm. What are our most important investments? Obviously, we have some major freeway projects going on, not only in the southeast region, but around the state. Then we have our regular rehabilitation program, which is over $800 million a year, just to protect that investment. Yep. And then we have significant maintenance obligation, too. And we would have to prioritize where the money would go.
The Zoo Freeway is well underway. Just drove it last weekend. So are we talking here about delaying the Hones? Work has already started on the Hone. Mm-hmm. So are we talking here about extending those projects, Mr. Secretary?
I think the Hone we would not be too worried about. Most of the money needed to complete the Hone project is in this biennium. There's only a small amount that would be in the future biennium, and that's mostly for painting and some other things. I don't think that we would have a significant issue with the Hone. The Zoo, on the other hand,
The zoo you'd like to complete by 2018.
We want to complete the zoo by 2018, and that is part of a very well thought out sort of plan. And there are a lot of other things going on in that area with UWM, with the regional medical complex, that they've come to rely on the schedules that we've given them. So I think to delay the zoo project would be inconvenience to the traveling public. It mm-hmm. would be a delay. It would increase our maintenance costs and so forth. But I think it would also have some pretty significant impacts on some of those big property owners around there, and that would not be positive for them.
Would the expansion of the interstate from Madison to the Illinois border not get done if you had to absorb a 30% reduction, Mr. Secretary?
I think it's very plausible to say that we would delay the I-3990 project if we were facing those kind of reductions.
And then what about the new bridge? How much is Wisconsin going to have to come up with a new bridge to Minnesota? What's our share?
We've already got authority for the money that we need for this. You're talking about the St. Croix Bridge?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we would, this wouldn't impact the St. Croix Bridge project.
It would not?
No.
One other number that I am very intrigued by is debt service in the DOT mm-hmm. budget. Yeah. If you pull out the $123 million that you're now getting from the general fund and PECFA, you're on track, this is not news to you, to 18% mm-hmm. of DOT budget next year mm-hmm. would go for nothing but debt service.
Right.
Isn't that a pretty scary number?
The trend of debt service obligations is something that the commission took a very close look at. And many states do have a debt management policy that tries to control their debt service. To put that into perspective for us, back in the early 2000s, our debt service was about 6% of revenues.
6%?
Yeah.
As you say, tripling,
right,
potentially.
As you say, now we're up in that 17, 18%. And if we continue to borrow at the rates that we have in the last few budgets, we'll be up over 25% in about 10 years. And you think about it, that means that every dollar that comes into our fund, 25 cents goes right off the top to pay for projects that we've already built. And that, I don't think that's a place where you want to be. And as a result, the commission had talked about, some sort of a policy cap on debt service. I think a lot of states look at, once you get into that 20 cent range or 20% range, that you don't want to go a lot higher than that.
Is it true that New Jersey, all of the income goes to pay debt service?
I believe all their, I know that there are some states that basically rely on other sources of revenue just to meet the federal, just to meet their match to get their federal dollars, and mm-hmm. I think New Jersey might be one of them. Yeah.
Now, you just mentioned the federal government. You and members of the TDA, Transportation Development Authority, went to Washington last week. What did you hear in Washington? Was it encouraging? Because one report says the Federal Transportation Agency is going to run out of money.
Right. About 25% of our revenue comes in the form of federal highway and transit aid. And close to half of our highway program is supported by federal dollars. What's happened is over the last 5 years or so, the federal government also runs a trust fund, which is federal gas taxes and certain excise taxes that go into that fund to pay the states for their highway and transit projects. What's happened over the last 5 or 6 years is that the federal government has committed more money to the states than has been coming into that highway trust fund in revenues. And they have backfilled that fund to the tune of about $50 billion. So they've put about $50 billion of federal general fund money into the Federal Highway Trust Fund just to meet their obligations. So the Highway Trust Fund will pretty much run out of money sometime before Labor Day, July or August being projected. So something's going to, either before that happens, either Congress is going to have to make another general fund infusion or some other solution, or we've been told that the Federal Highway Administration will begin to prorate their reimbursements to the states.
Well, that would mean that Wisconsin DOT would have to borrow money, right?
There's a couple options. We could float some delay with cash in our transportation fund right now for a little while, but we are working right now and putting together some contingency planning that would say if, in fact, the federal government does not take action and they do basically stop reimbursements, what we would do is start to delay highway projects and not let highway contracts, and we've started to the planning for that. Now, what we've been led to believe, from our congressional delegation and others is that, Congress will step up to the plate and at least there will be some sort of a short-term fix here, but that will get us through this period here at the end of summer. But long-term, their system is totally unsustainable, And the Congress is going to have to struggle with that issue just as the states are struggling with it.
What are the base causes of both the federal and state governments running short on cash to maintain existing programs? Is it hybrid vehicles? Is it people paying, just driving less?
I would say it's a couple things. I'd say first and foremost, it's a lack of purchasing power in the sense that we have not indexed our motor fuel tax since 2006. The federal government hasn't increased their fuel tax since the 1990s. So the purchasing power of those dollars continues to go down mm-hmm. from inflation as construction costs go up and so forth. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mileage traveled is growing again after the recession. We had an uptick in vehicle miles traveled in 2013 in Wisconsin, but it has not picked up it is not increasing at the rates it was historically increased prior to the recession, so you're not getting that. And then third, I would say, is the fuel economy issue. However, I should point out that I think the fuel economy issue is much more of an issue going forward than it is looking backward. Actually, you know, fuel economy nationwide over the last 20 years or so has been fairly flat. And that's because, you know, people have not been replacing vehicles due to the recession. And also prior to the recession, you know, there were a lot of SUVs and bigger pickup trucks and stuff sold. So really, if you look at the graph of fuel economy, it's been pretty flat, but we anticipate it's really going to shoot up as we get into the next 10 years or so. In fact, our modeling and our projections are that nationally, fuel economy of the passenger car fleet will increase by 20% over the next 10 years.
So better mileage.
Yes. So
less gas tax revenue.
On a direct proportional basis. So, right, a 20% increase in fleet fuel economy without any increase in VMT would be a 20% reduction in fuel tax receipts, right?
Well, which seems to indicate, well, here's my question. Is it not healthy that 83 or 84% of all Wisconsin transportation revenues comes from just two sources? Motor vehicle registration fee and the gas tax?
We do, compared to other states, we do have a very narrow base of funding. That's something that the commission looked at, and that's something that, you know, we'll be looking at as we put something together. I talked about the town hall meetings. We're also looking at, you know, what other states are doing and trying to learn from their successes and so forth. But you're right, we do have a narrow base of funding compared to other states.
Do you think our $75 annual price tag to register our vehicles is too low?
Well, I don't know if it's too low or not, but I will tell you this. If you compare the cost of vehicle ownership in Wisconsin, and by cost of vehicle ownership I mean taxes and fees, you compare that cost for a typical sedan driven a typical number of miles, mm-hmm. and you compare us to our four neighboring states, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, and Michigan, we are by a considerable amount the lowest.
Well, how do you like the idea of other plans? I think in neighboring Iowa, if you drive a 2013 model, you'd pay a lot more because it's a newer vehicle. Mm-hmm. Do you think that is a model that Wisconsin should evolve to?
Some states do use value-based registration. I think I'll answer your question this way. As we work to put this plan together, I think we've identified three core objectives from whatever plan we put together. And those are adequacy. In other words, we want to raise enough money to meet the needs of a safe and efficient system. Secondly is sustainability. We want something that will grow as the economy grows and grow as our needs grow without, just like, for example, sales and income taxes grow with the economy. They sort of have this organic growth to them. So you're not always in this situation every few years again of having a problem to address. So adequacy, sustainability, and then to your point about registration fees, equity. We want to treat system users fairly. And that means users of different types of vehicles. That means people who use the system versus people who benefit from it without using it by the receipt of freight and so forth. That means outstate people and in-state people. So, you know, if you were to put together a plan that relied on registration fees, you're putting all the burden on Wisconsin residents then.
Yes.
You know, whereas, you know, a percentage of our fuel taxes, for example, are paid by out-of-state businesses and individuals. So
sure.
I think, you know, without getting into talking a lot about individual options right now, I think we're trying to keep our eye on this idea of, again, adequacy, sustainability, and equity.
I've looked at the last two polls conducted by the Marquette University Law School, and they've asked, are you willing to pay more for to register your vehicle or in gas tax? And it's no surprise to tell you that the conclusion, the respondents say no. But so here's my question. Do you think Wisconsin residents want good, safe highways but don't know how much that's going to cost in the future?
I think they definitely want, expect, and deserve a safe and efficient transportation system. Congestion costs our individuals and businesses over $100 million a year. The condition, the physical condition of our system is deteriorating. So we're not doing all we can do to reduce congestion and to just to preserve the condition of our highway system. I think people have an expectation of a safe and efficient system. I think one of the reasons we're doing this initiative is to get out there and explain to people and educate them a little bit about, here are the needs, here's what we think it's going to cost, you know, here's, and this is important, you know, here's what we need, here's what we think it's going to cost, here's all that we're doing already to make sure that we're running a performance-driven organization, and I think we have a great story to tell about that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think a lot of it, you know, we'll see how this goes in terms of the hope that we can, you know, educate people about a subject which is, you know, not easy to put into a sound bite and right. To take some time to get through.
Especially when it boils down to, do you want to pay more in user fees for a transportation system? But mm-hmm. This is dominoes. If the federal government runs out of money, state has a problem. If state has a problem, mm-hmm. you can no longer reimburse towns, villages, and cities.
Right.
So there are many stakeholders in this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, over a quarter of our second biggest program, over a quarter of our spending is local aid programs, whether that's general transportation aids or local transportation program or certain other grant programs for other modes, freight, rail, aviation, and so forth. Everybody has a stake in this. You know, the state trunk highway system is only about 10% of the roads in the state. You know, it certainly carries a much bigger percentage of that than all the traffic. But our local partners at the city, village, and town, county level, they're facing the same challenges. Especially, you know, we hear from them after this last winter.
Yes,
the winter costs were high, and maintenance costs are going to continue.
Do you expect them? You use the term partners. Do you expect your county, village, city, and town partners to help make the case for raising this additional $600 to $700 million over the next 2 years?
Yes. I think that we have a variety of stakeholders in the transportation field. There's, you know, obviously people who want to support a strong highway system. There are people who are supporters of better transit service, which is certainly an important mobility choice for a large part of the population. We want to make sure we fund that adequately. Then we've got these other modes, passenger and freight, rail and aviation, harbors, and so forth. I think it's important, and I think it's important for all of those stakeholders at the state and local level and in the private sector to understand that really no one's, with the magnitude of problem that we have, really no one's going to be successful unless everyone is successful. This is a problem that cannot be solved piecemeal.
The recommendation of the commission that was studying it 2 years ago that would have raised the most money is a mileage-based registration fee at 1.02 cents per mile. That would have raised $228 million a year. Is that option still alive or dead?
I guess at this point I don't want to really talk about what options are alive or dead. The commission did a lot of high quality work. Certainly the mileage-based registration fee is a new thing.
Yes.
And it's something that some other states are looking carefully at. Many people believe that it is the long-term answer. Many mm-hmm. people believe that mm-hmm. who've studied this. But again, it's not something that we would be able to implement in the next biennium. So it would not help us address the media problem that we talked about earlier.
Why would you not be able to bring it in the next 2 years, Mr. Secretary?
Well, because the two ways that you do it, the way that the commission proposed to do it involved, self-reporting of odometer mileage.
Yes.
Well, we don't maintain that data at registration right now, so we would have to start maintaining it, and we'd have to build up a database so we would know how many people drove. So it would take some time to implement that. And then the other ideas that other states have looked at with regards to different, technological solutions, those would probably even take longer and cost more to implement.
Assembly Speaker Voss and others repeatedly mentioned tolling as a source of revenue. But do you think Congress will lift the ban on tolls on existing interstates? You were just in Washington. What's your read?
I think it's very possible that they will, but certainly not a sure bet.
Do you want them to?
Yes, we do. We think that it should be up to the states to make that decision. The interstate system, for example, in Wisconsin, you mentioned I-39 that we're going to be reconstructing. We're reconstructing I-94. We have a project coming up on I-43 north of Milwaukee. It's pretty clear that that system that was built with federal aid, admittedly, it's reached the end of its useful life, and we have to reconstruct it now. So shouldn't the states have the option of deciding what's the best way to finance that reconstruction? Now, that's not to say that, Wisconsin would go down the tolling route. I mean, we don't know that. That's a policy decision that the legislature and the governor would have to make, but we think we should have the flexibility. The current Surface Transportation Authorization Bill, MAP 21, expires at the end of this federal fiscal year, so it expires September 30th of 2014. I think that will be one of the main topics that Congress will be talking about as to whether to provide that flexibility in the next reauthorization bill.
If Congress gave states the ability to toll on existing interstates, would that be something that would help your the DOT's financial picture in the next biennium, 2015-17?
Again, I have a hard time envisioning that because of the lead times involved in even implementing an open road tolling kind of a program. We'd have to, first of all, we'd have to have the legislature and the governor decide that they wanted
to
do it.
So Congress has to ask. Then you have to have policy decisions made in our capital,
right?
And then you've got to design a system to implement it, construction of booths and all these other systems.
Right.
So
right.
May not be able to help you in the 15-17 window?
I think it's fair to say that it would not be a significant revenue source in the next biennium just because of the implementation lead time.
When you go out with these town halls, listening sessions, whatever you call them, you're going to hear, your staff is going to hear people who say, we're spending $3.33 billion a year, that's enough. What's your response to those people? Because you've already heard that.
Sure. We have done a lot to model different scenarios going forward based on what will our system look like at different investment levels. And we can tell you that at the current levels of investment we're making, that congestion is increasing in certain urban areas, obviously, and that condition of our system is declining. Now, the other argument that people will make is, well, you're just not spending the money that you're getting wisely. You're doing too much of A and not enough of B, or you're wasting money on this, that, or the other thing. That's why we've made it a real priority as part of this Transportation Moves Wisconsin to not only go out, we understand that it's a hard sell to ask people for more revenues, and we understand that before we can even begin to have that discussion, we have to do everything that we can do to tell people that we're running a cost-effective an accountable agency. So we've put together a performance improvement program that we call MAPS. It's for our five core goals: mobility, accountability, preservation, safety, and service. And part of these town hall meetings, part of my sit down with the Legislative Transportation Committee tomorrow, is going to be about showing people what we're doing to drive higher performance at the agency, to control costs, to innovate in processes and innovate in technology, improve customer service. So that's a big part of this, is trying to give people a higher level of confidence that we are running a cost-effective agency.
Is one of those changes been less reliance on outside consultants to design our highways? Have you dialed that back? Because you're well aware of that controversy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, as part of the last budget, the biennium that we're currently in, we were fortunate enough to make the case to the governor and the legislature that if we had some more internal engineering resources and other technical resources, that we could bring some of our designs back in-house and we believe save some money. Mm-hmm. We did get that authority to hire 180 people. We've pretty much almost completed that process. And so we will be bringing some work back in-house. Consultants are always going to be a part of what we do because they bring certain levels of expertise on certain projects that we just don't have or wouldn't be cost effective for us to have and kind of manage peaks and valleys in our program. So, but yes, we are bringing more people on board. We believe that will save us money, and we are right now dialing back our reliance on consultants, yes.
Okay, well, we're out of time, so just one final question. When do you expect to make recommendations to the governor? And you're pretty optimistic that you're going to be able to develop public support for these recommendations, Mr. Secretary?
Well, we're certainly going to try. And as I say, the town halls is part of it. We're also doing a lot of other research. Our recommendations will probably be made, my guess would be, in concert with our budget submittal to the governor, which will happen sometime in November.
Are we going to see him before the November 4 election?
I can't say. I don't know.
Transportation Secretary Mark Gottlieb, thanks so much for your time. And what a task lies ahead. Good luck as you talk to Wisconsin residents.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thank you.